All right, everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. And I have got a bunch of guys who sent me this following clip from YouTube.
Ranger who had just purchased a home on one of Tacoma, Washington's most gang-infested streets, quickly became a witness to various illegal activity happening out front.
In Joe Biden's America, it's never been more dangerous to bet your livelihood on the man. Because he works for Murphy, who works for Whitey, who works for the man, and the man always saves a 10% kickback for the big guy. What if I told you that you could hang up your suit and tie for good and become the master of your own destiny in this cesspool of cronyism full of drowning sheeple? Would you have the balls to do it?
Ooh, yeah.
Dive into the world of corporate land and find your spine. Go to frankservi.com today and get yourself a copy. A link is in the Meat Gazer box.
From that story that you're seeing, is put together from a lot of witness statements and police reports. And quite frankly, it's pretty tame. And, you know, from what I've heard. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, all right? I was in the 2nd Ranger Battalion Bravo Company from 1988 to towards the end of 1991. And I was there in the Ranger Battalion when this craziness went down. And I'm going to tell you the inside story right here, all right? So the Ranger in question purchased this home at a really deep discount, and the reason he purchased the home because basically he got it for next to nothing, and all he had to do was agree to live in it for 5 years, and he thought it was a great deal because back then you didn't really get paid that much. And this particular individual, I think it was an E6, and you know, he bought this home, and over the month and a half, 2 months that he was there, he noticed an insane amount of gang activity, and the house across the street from his was basically a dope house. So he decided to keep the police informed for the most part, and he put up a video camera in his house and had it on for long periods of time, and he filmed a lot of the comings and goings and got license plates and so forth to these individuals who were buying drugs in his neighborhood. Well, you know, they noticed something was up. We're talking the Crips or the Bloods. I don't remember which gang it was. And because they noticed more cop cars coming by, and they would ask questions. And the house across across the street was basically searched by the cops about a week before the incident. I think 2 weeks. I'm not sure. And I don't really know the details of what happened after that in regards to any, if anything was found or anything was charged. I'm not sure. It's typically pretty hard to get enough evidence on these individuals right off the bat. Typically, to prosecute a lot of these drug houses and drug dealers and what have you, you need to watch them for a long time and amass a lot of evidence. Well, the Crips across the street put two and two together, and they saw the camera, you know, in his upstairs window, you know, basically filming the house across the street and the street out in front of the house. So they come over, and they tell him to take the camera down, and he basically tells them to fuck off, goes back in the house. Then they started throwing rocks at his house. There was a rumor that they took a couple pot shots at his house. I'm not sure how true that is. Nobody told me that directly. Now, basically, he comes home from work. He's home like a half an hour. And five or six of these guys are throwing rocks at his house again. And he comes out his front door and monkey stomps the shit out of several of these guys hard. Okay. Because most people don't realize when you are an airborne ranger or Green Beret, your physical fitness is at a sub-Olympic level. All right, you're basically super fucking human. You ignore pain. You have an incredible amount of endurance. And you're wearing starch and spits. You know, getting kicked with combat boots is no fucking joke. It's happened to me a few times. And they got all butthurt about it. And they said, hey, man, we're coming back here. And if you're not gone, I think by Saturday or Sunday morning, they were going to come over and kill him and his entire family. So I think this was on a Wednesday or a Thursday when this particular, when this happened. Now I'm getting this story, I'm telling you, from three individuals who were there. And one of those individuals had my Mossberg 590 12 gauge. Because that Thursday when that happened, the next day on Friday, he basically told the different individuals what was going on in his house. And the rumor mill went all throughout all the companies that, hey, there's a bunch of drug dealing gangsters going to kill a ranger at his house in Tacoma. Well, I didn't really go over too well. And, you know, the guy who had my 12 gauge woke me up on Saturday morning, like 8:30, 9 o'clock. And he's like, hey, man, I want to go to the shootout, but I just don't have a long gun. Can you loan me something? Because pretty much my entire platoon knew that I had a pretty good gun collection that was in the arms room downstairs. And the armorer was basically living on our floor. I'm not going to say his name. Great guy. Crazy name. I wouldn't want to have that name growing up. But it is what it is. So I go wake him up. We go down to the arms room. And back then, you had to call a number on post, which monitored all of the gun safes and arms room lockers on post. So if you're going to open the arms room, you need to call the number first and say, hey, this is arms room such and such. I'm opening the arms room in 5 minutes. You hang up the phone, you open the arms room, and the light goes off in the panel where some poor schmuckatelli is sitting. I did that job a few times, so I know exactly how it works. And you're good to go. So, you know, I don't hand receipt the weapon to a buddy of mine. I just say, hey, man, if you lose it, this is what I bought it for. You're just going to, you know, pay me for it. Because I'm not like not one of those guys who gouges people. And it is what it is. You know, there was another incident with another one of my firearms. I'll tell that to you another day. Nobody got shot, of course, that I know of. But now, it is what it is. So, you know, he takes the weapon and, you know, he leaves. I have things to do for I think I was doing scuba diving that day in the afternoon. So I wasn't present at all for this. And he got there roughly shortly after lunch. And they were, you know, starting to show up in numbers. Now, in this particular video, Army Ranger smokes some Crips in 1989. And he says at the end of the video, there's like 13 or 15 people who did this whole thing. And that's radically incorrect. Because roughly around dinner time, the way it was reported to me, there was between 70 and 90 airborne Rangers at this barbecue. And they started preparing for this whole thing roughly around noon. Apparently, there were several hasty fighting positions dug in on the front lawn. They had the grills going in the driveway. You know, people were parked, you know, on the block and the next block over. And it looked like a giant house party. And nothing was really going on during the day. You know, there was the same people driving by, and they were probably, and these are the bad, crippy, blood gangster shitbags. And they were driving back and forth, mean mugging us, you know, giving us the stink eye, and giving the Rangers that were there the stink eye and the mean mugging. I personally didn't see this, but it's par for the course. I can pretty much believe that's how it went down. Now, sometime after the sun went down, I don't know exactly when this actually took place, and it started off, first of all, they started the whole goddamn thing. So quite literally, you know, the way it was explained to me, these Crips come out of the house, there's like 11 to 15 of them, and they yell across the street, "We told you to fucking get the fuck out of here." And one of the guys in the group, you know, fires a pistol into the air. That was not a good idea. So you have airborne Rangers doing the combat dive behind the, you know, the hasty fighting positions with their weapons right there, mind you. Okay. And there was somewhere between 60 and 90 airborne Rangers unloaded on these guys and their house with an insane amount of firepower. All right. It was like when I talked to like some of the individuals who are on the Tacoma Police Force, who are there for this. And I talked to these guys at the Tacoma Mall once after the event. But there was a volume of fire that went on for almost 6 minutes. All right. We're talking probably 2,000 to 4,000 rounds of ammunition were fired. And the cops literally wouldn't come down the street. And they stayed like two blocks down until the shooting stopped. I don't know. We're seeing a pattern here. I don't know. I mean, we just had the craziness in Texas where the cops wouldn't do shit. And the shooting died down. And there's a bunch of airborne Rangers there. And they know, like, if you're under the rank of E7 and you get caught there, you know, and your battalion commander wants to hem you up, you're going to lose a stripe, maybe two, and 1 to 3 months of pay. If you get a full Article 15, you know, field grade Article 15. Nobody wants that because money's good. You don't want to get demoted for bullshit to like that, or bad things happen later on in your career. So they have a quick powwow, and they come to the conclusion that some people have to stay behind and explain the whole thing. And that's where you get the 15 Rangers that stayed behind. Because like, I believe a third of them were ETSing, getting out of the Army anyway, and they didn't give a fuck. A couple of them were getting medically retired, or they were getting PCS'd elsewhere, and their time at the regiment was done. And a couple of guys were basically didn't get promoted, and they were going to get kicked out of the service anyway. It's called stop loss. You have to get promoted, and you know, to stay in the military, you have to get promoted every so often. And if you stick at a certain rank, you're done. So, like, back in the old days, you could be an E5 for 30 fucking years. It doesn't work like that anymore. So, those are all the guys that stayed behind and, you know, took the rap. And it was funny because this one sergeant who told me about the whole thing explained to me, because I talked to the guy, he was one of the 15 that stayed behind and took the rap. And he's talking to the cops, telling them the deal that they fired first, and they threatened to, you know, kill this guy, burn his house down, and kill his whole family. You know, and we're airborne Rangers. We're not fucking putting up with that. You know, and they were bitching, like, you should have called the cops. We would have came and done something about it. And the sergeant who owned the home responded, like, what are you talking about? I literally drop a videotape off to you every fucking day for, like, a couple months showing the fucked up shit that's happening here, and you've done fuck all about it. So why the fuck should I walk to you and say, or go to you and say, please protect me because these people did this? Because they're not. They're not going to do shit. All right, now, rumor has it that there was three of these gangbangers who were hit. I don't think any of them died. They might have, I think they received medical care, and they were smart enough to drive these guys a half an hour to an hour away to get seen in the emergency room. Because back then, if something like that happened, they usually monitor the local hospitals within 10 miles or less. You go outside that back in the day, you were good. Now, the volume of fire into that house was so high that it was condemned. All right, so I have no idea why nobody got killed, number one. Number two, for you to condemn a home from gunfire, you literally have to basically burst every pipe, shoot out all the goddamn windows, you know, fill it full of holes, the roof. I mean, it was insane. And thankfully, nobody got hit with any bullets that were like in the house behind it or to the sides. You know, Rangers have excellent fire discipline. So, yeah. Now, the after effects of this, you know, we heard all about it. And I was upset when I got back back to my room, like 1 in the morning-ish. Because I was out scuba diving with a buddy of mine. And, you know, we would go get Dungeness crabs and Red Rock crabs out of the Sound and stuff. And I was pretty upset that I missed the whole damn thing. But in the grand scheme of things, I probably would have got in trouble because I am who I am. And back then, I was a mean, hateful individual, and I really wouldn't have any qualms about shooting a gang member who's trying to kill me. Now, our battalion commander was Lieutenant Colonel Miastis, who was later relieved for cause for jackassery. In my opinion, he wasn't really a good battalion commander. I've seen way better. And I don't recall if anyone actually got an Article 15, but they had a battalion formation, and we got read the Riot Act. The funny thing is we had Sergeant Major Leon Guerrera, who was our Sergeant Major at the time, and the battalion commander, you know, read us the Riot Act, and you can't be doing this, we need to have discipline, blah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. It gets done, he leaves, and the Sergeant Major, you know, was putting up the front like he was, you know, supporting the battalion commander, because that's what Sergeant Majors do. Now, when the battalion commander left, the Sergeant Major, you know, at-eased us and brought us into an informal gaggle. You know, the first 4 or 5 ranks took a knee or sat. And he told us how proud he was of us for sticking together. And he was, you know, kind of upset that we would have to do more range training because none of those fuckers were killed. That was awesome. That was awesome. And, you know, it made it, I think, Newsweek and Time Magazine. It was like a national thing. You can look it up. And the one sergeant who owned this building apparently still lives there. And he was one of those sergeants who got basically stop lost because he didn't get promoted, which I think was an absolute shame. Anyone who can hang in the Ranger Battalion, you should get promoted. It, you know, and like, for instance, you're in E6 and you're not getting promoted in the regiment because there's no slots for E7s. That E6 has a lot of fucking experience. You can box him up, promote him to E7, send him to another unit. Let him finish his fucking career. I mean, that is just a shame. And my heart goes out to some of these Rangers who are getting stop lost, right, to get out, because they missed the Panama invasion, which took place that December 20th, which I was there for. I've already told that story. I'm not going to go through it here. There's a lot of things there I'm not going to talk about again, but because everyone has their limits. Now, this was not the first time that Rangers had run-ins with gang members in Tacoma. There was a lot of smaller incursions that some of my friends were involved in that never made the news. And people may or may not have been maimed or killed, hypothetically, of course. And after that happened, I mean, they hated our guts. They would hang sheets from the overpasses, like, Rangers, we got your number, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. Now, this next incident took place at the Tacoma Mall, and this happened after the Panama invasion. That was, I would say, 1990, early 1990. And I was at the Tacoma Mall, and I remember the initial incident. Apparently, there was this one section of the Tacoma Mall where all the gangbangers hung out, and they would lean against this wall and catcall people, and they were just fucking raging assholes. Well, there was two noobs, and they were from Alpha Company, and they weren't even in the battalion when this crazy shit went down. They're literally been in the battalion like 30 days, 45 days. And they get jumped by these Crips or Bloods, I don't know who they were, and they get beat really bad. Bad, like to the point they have to go to the hospital. Okay. Now, I was in Bravo Company. These guys were in Alpha Company. I heard about, you know, what happened after the fact, because when it was happening, you know, there's so many people and cops, you don't really know what's going on. I didn't hear the full story until I got back to the battalion. Now, I don't know how Alpha Company is today, but back in 1988 to 1991, Alpha Company had the reputation of growing fucking psychos. Straight up killing psycho motherfuckers. God bless them. Well, you know, I made it a habit. I would always, you know, if I wasn't in the field, I was out doing my thing, and I had a Camaro, and I drove around, I raced it, we did scuba diving, you know, stuff like that. I spent a lot of time at the Tacoma Mall on my weekends. Now, after this incident happened with Alpha Company Rangers, they didn't really, you know, the gangbangers didn't really hang out in the usual spot. They were really scarce. And again, I was there when I think this was like 4, 5, 6 weeks later. And I used to go to the Tacoma Mall on Saturday afternoon, and I would go to this place called Pacific Soup and Salad. And I would get the French dip, the salad, cider ranch. And I don't know what it was with the ranch dressing they had there, but it was so fucking good. So I go there, I'm eating, I get done, you know, I think I bought a pair of slacks and a shirt, and, you know, I was just fucking around. And I'm walking out, and, you know, I remember I look over, and there are all the gang members in their usual spot where they were before, but they're in there in force. There's probably maybe 30, 35 of them. And then, you know, I'm like, wow, I wonder if Alpha Company knows about this. And I look over, and I see a couple of airborne rangers, because they got the airborne ranger hat on. It's an old patrol cap, you know, the OD green one with the ranger tab on it. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, there's rangers there, so something's going to happen. So I go talk to these guys, and they're like, yeah, we called it in. You know, they're coming up here. We're going to handle this. So I can't go home. I got to watch the whole thing go down. So Alpha Company handled this just like an airfield seizure. That's what we're trained to do. They blocked off the entrances. They infiltrated a couple at a time, and then and they sprung the trap, and it was all of a sudden there was this like semicircle of airborne Rangers, probably 40, 50 of them, maybe more, I don't know. And after that happened, when the last guy got in place, somebody yelled something and the Rangers just rushed them. And this was beyond any fucking beating I had ever seen. All right. It was, and some of these gangbangers were pretty big, you know. But those airborne Rangers, man, they're fucking pit bulls. You know, I don't care how fucking big you are. You have six dudes on you. You're fucked. Especially if you don't know how to fight and do so effectively. And, but it lasted maybe 4 minutes. And then all of a sudden, the Rangers just disappeared into the crowd, and that was it. I got in my car and I left. And as I was leaving, I could see all of the ambulances pulling into the Tacoma Mall. It was a traffic jam of ambulances. And maybe some of those guys died. I don't know. I mean, because when I was walking by the whole thing after it happened, and there was a lot of blood and a lot of people who weren't moving. So who knows what happened. And later on, it was, you know, it was written up as, you know, a big gang fight in the mall. Man, it was ugly. It was fucking ugly. But, you know, that wasn't the first time Alpha Company had fucked people up who had tore their people up as well. Anyway, yeah, that was a long time ago. And most of the people that were involved in this are long since been out of the service. A lot of them are probably dead. Because let's face it, guys who do 20 or more in the service technically usually don't live to be exceptionally old individuals. Anyway, that's my take on the Army Rangers smoked some Crips in 1989. So that is the story behind the story that you're that's going around YouTube right now, and hopefully my fans are pleased that I'm giving it a different spin. All right. Again, I personally was not present at the shootout. My 12 gauge was. And I talked to several people who were there, to include the individual who had the 12 gauge. And that is the rumor mill, the backstory of the Ranger Crip shootout from 1989.